Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk. I'm Patty Gresher. For the next few months leading up to the Northwest Book Fair, each episode will offer a behind-the-scenes look at the authors, media creators, and community members bringing this event to life. The Northwest Book Fair takes place Saturday, June 27th at Clark College in Vancouver. For details, visit Northwest Book Fair. And today, I'm joined with Linda. Okay, and for today on Northwest Book Talk, I'm joined by L.J. Dix, that's Linda, a science fiction and fantasy author whose stories blend adventure, heart, and just the right touch of cozy. L.J. grew up surrounded by books and inspired by her mother's love of science fiction, and her writing journey begins with stories she made up for her children during long road trips. With a background that includes an MBA and experience in global supply chains, she brings a unique and surprisingly fun perspective to her sci-fi worlds, where interplanetary trade, found family, and animal companions often take central stage. She's the author of several popular series, including Starship Cat, Star Trader Independence, and her newest cozy sci-fi series, Minstrel's Luck. Linda will be joining us in person at the Northwest Book Fair, where she'll be leading a workshop called A Writing Career at Any Stage of Life. So welcome, Linda, to the program.
Hi, Patty. It's nice to be here.
So let's start by, what about our listeners that have been meeting you for the very first time? How do you describe your books and the kind of reader who loves them?
So I write basically action, adventure, science fiction is my main, you know, venue for creating sci-fi. I was told by a very well-known and USA Today best-selling sci-fi author to tell people that if they like Firefly, my books are sort of like Firefly light, not quite as gritty, but still the space Western feel to them.
But what if they love Firefly, how is they going to recognize that in your books?
As I say, it's kind of the same space Western vibe. There are multiple planets and with different levels of technology. There's frequently an odd group of people as a crew to a ship or as a team. My diplomat's apprentice, they're basically mercenaries working for one of the major interplanetary governments. In Minstrel's Luck, he's, you know, basically flying a stolen AI-operated starship and makes his way around some of the less civilized planets. In Starship Cat, it's like the history of this universe to some degree, and that is much lighter. They all have the same kind of, as I say, space Western, you know, we are not as civilized as we'd like to think we are vibe to them.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So you said in a little talk we had beforehand that you grew up loving science fiction from your mom. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
My mom was an omnivorous reader to start with. And so I had access from the moment I could put two letters together and create a word out of them mentally. I had access to all of her books. Laugh when I think about my first adult book ever. I really took up a massive, you know, project for myself and started reading War and Peace by Tolstoy at age 9.
Oh, my.
I kept a notebook to keep track of who all the characters were, because Russians tend to have a lot of different names for the same person. And I fell in love with reading. But my mom was also a huge sci-fi fan. She read a lot of the classic sci-fi authors from, you know, the golden age of sci-fi that happened before I was born. But oddly enough, she's the person who introduced me to the original Star Trek series. She found it from like the very first episode, fell in love with it. And the next thing I knew, we were sitting and watching it together in the living room once a week. And my mom was a general reader, but she loved sci-fi.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I l started introducing myself to sci-fi from my brother, older brother, who was into everything, Asimov and Bradley and all these other great authors. And I too love Star Trek because it's just fun. I'm like watching it for the I don't want to say how many times I'm rewatching it, but it is really a fun show. So but let's talk about how some of your stories came into being by car trips and stories you told for your kids on these long car trips. How did those stories evolve into actually published books?
I spent a lot of years as a single mom of four children, and our family lived quite a distance from us. So to go and visit my parents, for example, for Christmas was a 7-hour car drive. And if you want to think about four young people in a car for 7 hours, even with rest stops, you know that you've got to have something to keep them busy. And, considering that those children are all grown up with grown-up children of their own right now, that means that there were no such things as like an iPad to play movies on in the car or cell phones to play games on. The idea of games was like license plate games or something from the looking out the window. So I told them stories, and sometimes they were stories of bo they were books that I had already read, and other times I kind of invented the stories on my own. And so my oldest son in particular has great memories of me telling the stories that became books 1, 2, and 5 of my Diplomat's Apprentice series.
Wow, because I was going to ask, how did you bring back your memory to remember those stories and put them into action? It's like, oh my God,
I
that
can tell you exactly how
is.
I brought back that memory, and that is because at that time, when my children were still very young, I attempted to become a sci-fi author. And I put together those three books into one book, basically three linked novellas, and sent them off to three different publishers. And at the time, of course, they're all typewritten, so they're in huge boxes. One box came back, one box did not come back, but I got a rejection letter. The third box disappeared into some place in space and never showed up again. But I had copies of all of that. And when I was moving in 2020, I found a huge box full of typewritten manuscripts and decided to give it another try.
Ah, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about your publishing journey after that. So you rewrote from your notes and from your past stories, and then how far did it take you, or how long did it take you to get them to actual book form and then get them out into publication?
So I'm what's called a hybrid author, which means that I self-publish some of my works and I publish through a publisher with other works. So the first thing I did was I basically got on a plane and flew to Las Vegas in November of 2021 and attended the world's largest independent author conference. At the time, it was called 20 Books to 20K or 20 Books Vegas. Learned as much as I could, soaked up as much information as possible. I went back again in 2022. And in 2021, I accidentally ended up spending more time than expected with the gentleman who is a prolific author, but is also the head of a small publishing house. And so in February of 2023, I sent them the manuscript for book one of Diplomat's Apprentice. And on March 31st of 2023, and yes, I remember the date, I received an email saying that they were interested in discussing a book contract with me. Fall of 2025, book 12 of that series released, which was the final book in the series.
And so, what was the success for those first books?
Pretty well received. I mean, I'm not exactly a USA Today best-selling author, but they were well received. I'm still receiving royalties from them, and it was a good entree because I didn't have to learn everything I would need to learn about being an independent publisher right away. It gave me the opportunity to have somebody help me pick covers and, handle advertising when I was basically a newbie.
So, but you've really come a long ways from the time you first wrote those books in the what 2020, 21, or whatever, and then to actually now, you said you had almost 20 books published.
So in the spring of 24, I wrote a 21,000 word prequel to my next series, which was Star Trader Independence. The prequel is available on Amazon. It's not necessary to read the rest of the series to read the prequel, but book four of that series just came out in January of this year. I had written a short story just for fun, printed up copies myself, and was handing it out to other authors and publishers just to give people a good feel for my work. My publisher, LMBPN, picked that up and asked me, could I write a short series? And this is where Cozy starts coming in. I wrote the Starship Cat series about the same cat who starred in the short story, Why There Are Cats on Starships. It's about a real cat, a real type of cat. The cat doesn't have magic. It doesn't talk. It doesn't fly starships. It's just a mascot on a ship. But somehow or another, when the ship gets into trouble, the cat does just the right thing, usually by accident.
Yeah, that's a cat trait. So
yes,
cool.
It is.
And I don't know. I think sometimes there's malicious mischief in those cats because it's not always by accident, just breaking up a few fights these days. But anyway, let's go back just before we take a break. About your background, you have an MA, MBA in global supply chains and container shipping. So that's not something you hear every day in sci-fi. But how did that real world experience show up in your stories?
Okay, I'm going to date back again to 2021 and that wonderful conference in Las Vegas. The very first day of the conference, I bumped into a gentleman who was sitting at a booth talking about a particular sponsor of the conference. And I started chatting with him a bit. I had no idea who he was. And we started talking about our backgrounds a little bit, and I mentioned some of my background in global supply chain management, and his response was, you need to add that to your books. I later learned that I was speaking with Todd McCaffrey, who has become a good friend, the son of Anne McCaffrey, a very, very well-known sci-fi author, or sci-fi and fantasy author. But I took that to heart, and when I wrote that little short story, I created the way that shipping is going to take place when it's between planets instead of like from China to the west coast of the US, for example. So container shipping is what we use here. I invented a way of containers being moved from planet to planet. And that's basically where that started. And then when I decided to start a series, an independent series, the Star Trader Independence, is actually the adventures of a cargo ship and its captain. So I'm bringing a little bit of my background into my sci-fi work.
Oh, that's great. So we're going to pause just for a quick, brief appreciation break from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Okay, and we return when talking to LJ Dix, Linda, sci-fi, cozy, and all sorts of other kind of adventure stories. So let's talk about your plotting of your books. You've said that you don't heavily plot them. What is kind of your writing journey?
So when I come up with an idea for a story, it's usually very much character-based rather than plot-based. If the characters work, then I can throw them into a situation and they will behave the same way book after book after book. So I start with a character or a group of characters. As far as a plot is concerned, I usually have my longer series, my Diplomat's Apprentice series, starts every book with a short 2-chapter mini adventure. And I think I stole that from the first season of the original MacGyver series, which also started with a mini adventure before it ran the credits. I basically come up with an idea of they're going to do this, this, and this, and this will happen. And then I want to reach this end point. So I have a beginning, a rough idea, and an end point, but I just kind of let my imagination run free. And so sometimes things change dramatically as I'm in the process of writing. And sometimes I will write a scene that is like 10 chapters ahead of where I'm currently at because I just came up with this wonderful scene and have to work it into the book somehow. It's just, it's very much a seat of the pants type of plotting and writing. And I know there are people who make very large detailed outlines, and if that works for them, that's great. It would never work for me. So I do what works best for me.
I can see that. The fact that you could make up stories for your kids as you're driving along shows that you kind of had this already ingrained, you know, I start a story, how in the heck am I going to finish it? But you do, kind of theory. So, but I want to talk a little bit about your characterization. You say, so you base your stories on strong characters. How do you develop those strong characters? Do you do it one by one or all together? How's that go?
I don't plot, but I do make character sheets, and I do have a series Bible, which is basically all the notes from each book. I'm probably a very odd duck in terms of how I create my series Bible, because my series Bible is on a multi-page Excel spreadsheet, which I think is probably unusual for most authors, based on the fact that I'm a numbers person. There's no question about it. I'm a numbers and figures and facts type of person. So the spreadsheet works well for me. But I keep notes about everything that the characters like and dislike, and you know, when they show up in each book. And then I've got a list of all the planets that show up in the book and the different starships that are there and the starship mascots, if they have them. So that kind of keeps me on track as far as how I develop the characters. Sometimes they just kind of show up. The Minstrel's Luck series, which will be coming out this spring and will be available at the Northwest Book Fair. It was basically, I was sitting in a session in Las Vegas last fall and listened to what the person was saying, but somehow something they said clicked with me. And I'm like, a minstrel in space. How interesting. And it developed from there. And instead of having a cat as a mascot, this one has a husky as a mascot. And if you're familiar with huskies, that's going to be a lot of fun to write.
Well, I am a little bit connected to husky. And yeah, they are like wild, adventurous, and a little bit domineering. And, you know, they're very lovable, but they're also their very own dog person, whatever you call that.
I have a husky grand dog who I'm basing my husky character on. So, yeah. And they're also very vocal. They're right. Very chatty dogs. So coming up with different phrases or different sounds to write that would make it sound like a husky is kind of an interesting challenge.
So what would you say you find the hardest in putting your stories together? Is it background? Is it you're strong on characters? But is there something that you kind of really have to struggle through to get your books to a finished form?
Sometimes I run into a slow spot where I'm like, okay, I've written myself this far. I've got to get to this next step. And there's a gap here that I have to fill. And that can be challenging sometimes. My other biggest struggle right now, and it's not one that I'm going to get rid of anytime soon, is that I'm working a full-time job as well. It's a job that I really enjoy, working with people that I really love. And so I don't want to give it up. I would have to be a major author success to give up that job. So limits my writing time.
Yeah, maybe it limits your writing time, but it also exposes you, like you say, to real people in a real world. And that kind of, I'm sure, comes through in your books. It's not isolated at all. So let's talk a little bit just before we end about, you're going to be giving a workshop at the Northwest Book Fair, which we are excited about. And it's going to be something about starting a writing career at any stage of life. And I think you can kind of attest to that from your own experience. But what would people who want to attend this kind of workshop, what would be your ideal attendee?
Actually, there is no ideal attendee. If anybody has ever fantasized about writing a book at any age, my ideal attendee could be 15 to 105. My oldest son is a full-time author, and he credits some of his inspiration to listening to me typing those books that I mailed out that never sold when he was in bed, trying to fall asleep and listening to me type. So you can become inspired to be an author at any age. And what I'd like to do is encourage people who have this dream to basically take the chance and pursue it.
Oh, I think I'm probably going to be busy at the fair, but I need this workshop for myself. I am overwhelmed. Every time I read a book, I think, oh, this is so good. I couldn't even come close. Oh, this is so great. Oh, what am I even thinking about this? You know, it's that all that mental negative talk about compare yourself to good authors when you're like, you're going to start out.
Books that are out there that you love and enjoy and they resonate with you. Every time you read one, you're improving what you're capable of writing. I have a lifetime of reading behind me, and that's why I'm writing much better now than I was when I sent off those manuscripts 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. And I think the biggest step is just keeping at it, Okay, you've got to be beginner. I will say one thing. When I started taking piano lessons as an adult, and my first experience was with a teacher. She was a teacher, but she wasn't a piano teacher. And she started me with adult piano books, and in 6 months I was on book four. And then this teacher decided I needed to go to a real piano teacher, and she looked at my capabilities and said, we're going to go back to book one. and I learned to play the piano like My Pretty Kitty. And it's like, no matter what you start out learning something, you've got to start at the beginning. You can't pretend because you're older that you're further along in the process. I think that was a real learning experience for me. So let's say for readers coming to the book fair and you have all your books laid out, which one do you think would be the best one for them to start out with?
I think it depends on who they are. If they want to read a story to their elementary school child or have an advanced elementary school reader, they could start with the Starship Cat series. They're light, they're fun, nobody gets killed. Yet there's still action and adventure in them. If they loved Firefly, they might prefer Diplomat's Apprentice or Star Trader. If they would like something that reminds them of the cozy fantasy that's popular these days, like Legends and Lattes or Teller of Small Fortunes, then they might enjoy Minstrel's Luck. So I always, when somebody stops at a table when I do a live event, I always just talk with them and try to find out where their interests lie and what type of reader they are. And then I can make a good recommendation.
I think that is a real benefit in that you have several different series types. I know that authors who start out at an event and they have only one book, and that would be me, and they would say, that would be hard to reach more people because everyone is kind of narrow vision of what we like, at least when we first are looking for books. So that's a good.
Actually, last year my table mate had only one book and she did remarkably well. So sometimes only one book just works fine.
So what would you say that she did remarkably well? Is there something that connected, just the cover or her display?
Her cover was great, and the way she talked about her books was great. And she went out of her way just to make her book an experience. She even had packaging to give people when they bought a copy of the book. So she, as I say, she went out of her way to make it not just a you know, you're buying a book to read, but you're buying an experience, which was quite nice.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I really love that. So I'm going to do one last little question that we might sneak in or not. Hopefully we can. And that was, you talked about that each series has its own soundtrack. So how did you come up with that? How did you develop it? Where do we go with that?
So I love music. I love music across all genres for the most part. I haven't found too much music that I don't enjoy. But my favorite music has been movie soundtracks all my life. And so when I'm writing a book, I tend to see things in my head. I see the book as a movie that's going along as I'm writing it. And it's nice to have a soundtrack to that. So, for example, Diplomat's Apprentice, partway through writing it, the soundtrack became the music from Star Wars, but specifically Star Wars 7, The Force Returns. My main character kind of fits Rey enough so that Rey's theme in that worked for me in terms of a soundtrack. Star Trader Independence, believe it or not, is the soundtrack to the very first Transformers movie. So I end up replaying on, you know, over and over again on repeat, different soundtracks to different movies that work for that particular series.
That's very good, because I know, like music, it has its starting and climax and whatever. So that's kind of good. So do you have your books on audio at all, or is that something you plan to do?
My publisher put out the first 4 books in the Diplomat's Apprentice series on Audible. They're available on audio. None of my other books are at this point in time, but I'm hoping that they will be in the future.
All right. Well, Linda, L.J. Dix, the author, has been with me today. We're talking about her science fi cozies, all different kinds of books that she writes. And we're talking about a little bit about her workshop that she's going to be giving at the Northwest Book Fair, which we're very excited to have her. So I thank you, Linda, for being here on the program.
Thank you, Patty. It's been enjoyable, and I'm really looking forward to the Northwest Book Fair this year.
So thank you for tuning in to Northwest Book Talk. And so until next time, keep reading, keep imagining, and keep writing your stories.
Domestic violence is not okay, and it's on the rise, especially now during COVID-19. Domestic violence comes in many forms: physical abuse, verbal, financial, sexual, stalking, and technological abuse. If you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, we can help. The Vancouver Police Department and the YWCA are here for you. You are not alone, even in this time of crisis. You can call the YWCA at 360-695-0501. Or call 911 for the police. You can also find helpful information about the Safe Choice Domestic Violence Program at ywcaclarkcounty.org and in Portland at ywcapdx.org.